What happens when conspiracy theories cross the line? And then we take a look at the story of a group of people having an awesome, fun backyard barbecue. Yummy, yummy, yummy. Eat up them ribs and drink those Mr. Pibbs. But this barbecue is about to be interrupted by a man, Haley, from the world of the unknown. Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. Hope you guys are having a great day too. Hope you guys have some awesome plans for the weekend. I heard there's a movie you can watch. It's called Dune 2. Just to dampen your expectations. And also, I think you guys can tell I sound a lot better. This week has been Jason's sick week. It's been all screwy. I know this week the episodes have been kind of crazy. And I think on one episode I referenced another episode that didn't exist because I was recording them and having to place them out of order. But I'm much better now. Thank you so much for your guys' well wishes. I saw those in the YouTube comments and the email. So really, really appreciate that. But someone who never asks if I'm feeling any better, running into Dead Rabbit Radio Command right now. Everyone get on your feet and give it up for Chat. Well, I don't know how you say this name. It's either Chat Girl or Cat Girl. Woohoo! Yeah! Woohoo! Yeah, yeah, yeah! A little cat coming in that loves to chat. Cat Girl, you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. Cat Girl gave a donation during the Thanksgiving live stream, and actually, I think, also signed up for the YouTube memberships. But if you guys can't support the show financially, I totally understand. I really do. Just help spread the word about Dead Rabbit Radio. That helps out so much. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell everyone you know. Dead Rabbit Radio is your favorite paranormal show. Cat Girl, let's go ahead and get this party started. Let's go ahead and toss you the hair hang glider. Everyone grab on to Cat Girl's paw. She's like, it's Chat Girl. It's Chat Girl. I'm not a cat girl. Everyone grab on a Cat Girl's fuzzy paws as she jumps off the highest point of Dead Rabbit Radio Command. Cat Girl, go ahead and glide us all the way out to Tennessee. First off, before we get started, I want to give a shout out to David Klepper of the Associated Press. He wrote this amazing article profiling this story that we'll be looking into. So thank you, David. It's great. It'll be in the show notes, obviously, so you guys can read it. We're headed back to Western Tennessee, to be specific. The year is 2020. March 2020. You're like, oh, it's a COVID story. I'm sure somehow the pandemic and or the lockdowns are pivotal parts of this story. It's March 2020. We're about to meet a young couple. Her name is Ramona, and she is moving stuff in with her longtime boyfriend, Don. Now, Ramona and Don had met in high school. They just kind of knew each other. They didn't actually start dating until after school when they were working together at a fast food restaurant. Hey, Don, order up for those fries. I got it, boss. Psh, putting them in a box. Hey, Ramona, catch. She's all flinging across the room. Hot grease going everywhere. Ah, she was blinded by love. They ended up going from classmates to work colleagues to being in a relationship. And Ramona always described Don as a very safe person to be around. He just made her feel physically and emotionally safe. He's also a big guy. That's probably part of the physical safety, right? He was a big guy, but he was also smart. He was curious. He was a tinkerer. He loved to work on engines and motors and stuff like that. Loved to use his hands. Smart guy, safe, kind, all the things that Ramona was really looking for in a partner. But he also had more than a passing interest in the world of conspiracy theory. She thought it was interesting. He'd always have these interesting stories to tell her that he found online. these weird, kooky conspiracy theories. But she loved being around Don so much. You know, sometimes you're in that mode where it doesn't really matter what they talk about. You just kind of like hearing them talk to you. And he obviously enjoyed telling her this stuff. But there are benign conspiracy theories, like the legend of Atlantis, the government covering up UFOs. Who shot JFK? That's one that's a little less harmless. You know, it did involve a guy getting his brains blown out in front of hundreds and eventually on film, millions of witnesses. But you know what I mean? Like, there are layers of conspiracy theories. And there are the fun ones. The Bermuda Triangle type of thing. But March 2020, the world of conspiracy theories and real life collided. It was the first time it had collided for a lot of people. When March 2020 comes around, and all of a sudden they're talking about lockdowns. The streets were empty. Nobody knew what was going to happen next. We didn't know where this came from. We didn't know what it was capable of. We would just see news reports of people being bolted into their homes in China and overcrowded ERs in Italy, people, you know, old people just dying in the hallways and all of this, and you're terrified. And now I also can't go get a bag of Doritos. I can't even stress eat. All of a sudden, all of the stories that Don had read about these secret societies, about this plan to enslave humanity or to wipe out a huge chunk of it or both, seem to be coming true. When the COVID lockdowns start to begin, Ramona moves in with Don. So they're going to be living together. And because of everything that's happening in society, she was going to college. She wanted to be a school teacher. Her schooling moved online. And then she dropped out. So she didn't have her online community of students. She had limited communication with her family. You know, we had like Zoom or the phone. But she was physically isolated from all of the social networks that she'd built up over her life. We all were to a certain extent. And not only that, in the house, Dawn is constantly reading the internet. And these stories aren't fun anymore. They're scary. Ramona. This is it. This is the depopulation plan. They're going to wipe out billions of people. Says it right here. Honey, take a look at this. Take a look at this. Is COVID a bioweapon? Was this released on purpose to take? I mean, that's what it says right here. Ramona, come here. I need to show you something. What is it, Don? Come here. They're talking about they're working on a vaccine. Oh, that's good. Then maybe life will get back. No, you don't, Ramona, look. They can't kill us with COVID. COVID's probably not even real. It's probably all just a ruse to get us to hide in our house so they could deal the real kill shot, the vaccine. Dawn said, not me, YouTube algorithm. The vaccine is going to kill you. But I thought that the COVID was the bioweapon. No. There was different conspiracy theory. Different conspiracy theory. The new one is, with this new stuff we figured out, it's the vaccine that's going to kill you. Oh, no. And this is going on for months, right? Because from the time that the lockdowns happened to the time that really the vaccine came out, wasn't that like November? For months, this was going on. And Ramona said, this was a super interesting quote, because she starts to believe it. Even though the stories weren't funny anymore, stuff kind of started making sense in a way. This is a quote. She goes, quote, "The stuff he was telling me, it made me feel like at least we understood. He had an explanation for what was going on. I didn't realize what I was getting into." The sense of control that you have with information, you have chaos, right? The world's going on, it's so chaotic. start to hear these little pieces and it starts to form this puzzle. And even if the puzzle ends with a picture of Hillary Clinton eating a baby, even if it ends with reptilians, even if it ends with the New World Order taking over, the human face with a boot on it forever, even if that's the puzzle you've made, figuring it out gives you a sense of power, as opposed to just, this is chaotic and nobody knows what's going on. As this is progressing from the lockdowns over a couple months, Dawn's conspiracy theories begin to kind of coalesce into what's known as QAnon. And the article I read, the article by David Klepper, said they personally never used the term QAnon to describe themselves. But he goes, their beliefs really kind of matched up to that. And that was this idea that there was a war between the deep state and the white hats, which were the forces of Trump, that you couldn't trust anything you saw in the media, yet there were hidden codes in the media, or certain media, that was telling you what was going on, and you had to decipher the codes. Trump versus a cabal of sex perverts who feed off of the adrenochrome of the innocent. So they begin to prepare for that. They begin to prepare for the 10 days of darkness. And that's this idea that at a certain point, the storm would come. This was terminology you'd seen a lot of QAnon websites. The storm was coming. The storm was coming. And that was going to be the very beginning of the war between the white hats and the deep state. The 10 days of darkness would be power grids going down, either in specific localities like Washington, D.C., New York, so these battles could take place and communications would be cut off. Power grid would shut down in certain localities, or it would shut down across America. The whole country would go dark while these forces fought. This is very evocative conspiracy theory language. If it was a script, if it was a movie, it'd be really, really dope. The storm is coming. They eventually start preparing for the 10 days of darkness. They're buying supplies. Don goes and buys a rifle and a handgun. And they prepare their go bags. And he's like, at any moment, Ramona, we may have to leave this house. So we got to be able to just grab these bags, grab the guns. Grab the dog, gotta get old dog in the back of the truck, and we take off. Destination unknown. A new world. A dangerous world. Dawn had a job, so after the initial lockdowns, when things were kind of opening back up, Dawn goes back to work. Ramona's not in school still. She doesn't have a job. She goes, all I did was read conspiracy theories online. And I spent a lot of time on Facebook talking to other people who believed in the storm, who believed in QAnon, who believed in the 10 days of darkness. Don comes up with the idea to start running drills. He goes, honey, let's time it. And they'd get up, they'd run, they'd grab their go bags, get the dog. Come here, Rufus. Rufus, come here, hurry up. The storm's coming. Ruh-roh. And they'd load up their stuff in the truck and put the guns in there, get the dog in there, and then he'd go, time. You're like, oh, okay, you know, that's not bad. Probably have to figure out a way to get the dog in here quicker. That took the longest amount of time, but not bad. And they would run these drills over and over and over again. Not on the same day, but you know what I mean? Like, it was just a constant thing. Now we're in January of 2021. So the election's already happened. Trump has been voted out of office. The storm is coming. Like, really, this is it. He's going to have to take back power in the United States. He's going to have to get the people behind him to fight off these deep state invaders. January 2021, Don and Ramona are sitting at home. And Don goes, oh my God, Ramona, look what I just saw. and shows her that he read online that Vatican City just had a power outage. Well, what does that mean, Don? It means it's starting. Something's going on. The Vatican City's lost all power. It could mean that the White Hats are making their first blow against a corrupt pope. Don says to all my Catholic listeners, it could be that this is a special operation to go in under the cover of darkness to rescue all of the Pope's sex slaves that he keeps underneath his castle or wherever the Pope, whatever the Pope lives in, a church. Or, even worse, it could be that the Pope shut off the power himself to get more sex slaves into the city. She's like, wait, that's kind of three totally different things. I guess the first two are kind of related. Doesn't matter. The Vatican City is out. It's black. The whole city, the power grid's down. This has to mean something. We better get ready because the storm may have already started. A couple hours later, Ramon is in the bedroom of their house, and all of a sudden the lights start to go. And this house out in western Tennessee is enveloped by darkness. Ramona hears Dawn running through the house, and he's yelling out, it's time, we gotta go, honey, we gotta go, let's go, get your stuff. And she said he didn't sound scared, he sounded exhilarated. This is it. They grab their guns, their go bags, grab good old Rufus, get them all in the truck, and drive away down a dark road. Their plan is to first go to Ramona's parents' house. So they have already figured out like the route they're going to take and how they're going to get there and what they're going to do after that. And now they've drilled this. And now it's actually time. And as Don is driving the truck down these pitch black streets, he sees up ahead two sets of flashing blue lights. He begins to slow the truck down. He looks at Ramona. He goes, it's the cops. Looks like they've blocked off the road. Like they have two cars there, and they're kind of like not directly on the road, but they're both on the shoulder. You stay here. I'm gonna go talk to the cops. And Ramona stays in the cab of the truck, and she watches her boyfriend, Don, always keeps her safe. Big Don walking off into the darkness towards these two police cruisers. And she sees him, talk to him for a couple of moments. And then he turns around and begins walking back to the truck. And he gets in the car and she goes, what's going on? Did they say what's going on? Don goes, they say that a semi crashed into a transformer, knocked up power grid. But that's just a cover story. They may not even know what's coming. They may be so low on the level, they have no idea that the 10 days have started. We got to keep moving. So they keep driving. There's a bend coming up. And Ramona said, we're in the truck and we're driving. And right when we start making that corner, we see, juxtaposed against the dark night sky, a fully lit strip mall. Cars in the parking lot. People walking out of stores with their purchases. Everything is normal. And Don is just driving the truck and Ramona is staring out and she sees cars in the drive-thru at a local fast food restaurant picking up their food. The 10 days of darkness did not start then. A semi-truck did hit a transformer. And there was no power outage at Vatican. Vatican City was not thrust into darkness. I remember hearing that story back when it happened and when I was doing some additional research for this one. Apparently, that never happened. And at least that's what at least that's what the lamestream media wants you to believe. I'll put some articles in the show notes. They said there was no power out at the Vatican City. It was just a lie that became a truth. It just flew around the conspiracy theory sphere because of this 10 days of darkness coming. Now, Dawn said, you know what, honey? I knew that that wasn't the 10 days of darkness. I totally understood. I was just running another drill. I crashed the semi into the transformer, ran all the way back home. It was just another test. The thing with conspiracy theorists, though, because like I've said before, I've been so far down the conspiracy theory tunnel, I popped out on the other side and I go, oh, okay. Like, I used to be 100% a 9/11 truther. I'd get in arguments about it. I'd get in arguments not only with friends, but total strangers. We've done episodes on that. I'll put that in the show notes. I used to be a really hardcore 9/11 truther. And what really it came down to was that I know the government lies to me. Of course they do. I know the media lies to me. Of course they do. But I started to find proof that the conspiracy theorists were lying to me as well. Selectively edited videos being put out by these huge names in 9/11 truth circles. Either they were deceived and they never looked any further into it, or they were willingly deceiving me. But at the end of the day, I go, oh, well. But I went all the way through it. I traveled through that circle. And there is something. 9/11 truth was kind of an interesting thing because it was an event that had just happened. And then you go, well, Bush did it to invade Iraq, which of course he did, right? I mean, there are certain things that were going on. Oh, we're now in this country. We're taking over their oil supply. That's kind of a weird coincidence. But I, as much as a hardcore conspiracy theorist as I have been, and in a way you could say, I think I believe in conspiracy theories more than the average person, but I was a hardcore 9/11 truther. That one was all about a reflex to a past event. Now we have a lot of conspiracy theories that are predicting the future. Like this 10 days of darkness, this QAnon thing was all about Trump reascending or not losing the election in the first place, but when he did, then he was going to reascend and fight down this army of clones and robots, and that's what Real Raw News is all about. When you have special information, when you've figured out the puzzle, and you run in circles with other people who have figured out the puzzle, sometimes that's not enough. You get mocked a lot by believing in conspiracy theories. Like, I would get in arguments about 9/11. It was an inside job. One thing about that whole 9/11 conspiracy theory that I still hold true today, I don't think a plane hit the Pentagon. I think that was a missile. I think it was a missile, and the reason why they covered that up, because I believe there probably were people in the military who had been paid off by Al-Qaeda. See, that's the thing about conspiracy theories. You don't need everyone at NASA to know the moon landing is fake. You just need a few people. Everyone else is getting fooled. Everyone else has wrong telemetry data. Everyone else is looking at a screen that's pre-programmed to do stuff. Everyone in Mission Control didn't. I believe the moon landing was real, just for the record, but you don't have to get everyone in on it. You just got to get a couple of people in on it. I believe that Al-Qaeda probably did pay off members of the U.S. military or the U.S. government. And I think that missile came from a fifth column within the United States. And that's what hit the Pentagon. Listen, but I mean, I could change my mind on that. I have been. I think it was a missile that hit the Pentagon and we didn't. And I think that United 90, was it United 93? I think that was shot down too. So there's still some conspiracy theory parts of that. I applaud the bravery of the people on United 93 to fight back and try to take control of the plane. I don't want to take that away from them in that moment. They fought to save lives. But I also believe that we shot it out of the sky, because we didn't know if they were going to be able to regain control of it. But anyways, those are still parts of the conspiracy theory. So I'm not like, ooh, everything the government says, yummy, yummy, yummy. I'm not like gobbling all that stuff down. Anyways, let's get back to this conspiracy theory. So, this is what I was going to say. There's something when you talk about conspiracy theories and people call you an idiot, which happens a lot, it really makes you want it to happen. These conspiracy theories that are about something in the future, like the 10 Days of Darkness, Donald Trump leading the White Hats against the deep state. You get called an idiot so much, not only in real life, but on the internet, that you start to secretly want it to happen. Or not so secretly. You may go, I hope it happens. So we wipe all these people out. And that's when I think the conspiracy theory becomes dangerous. Because now you're willingly dreaming of this mass conflict, this civil war. Millions of people will die if this goes the way it's supposed to go. And if it goes the way it's not supposed to go, billions of people may die. But I see that in people. They want to be right. First, they want to be safe, and they want to make sense, and they want to know what's coming. But then pride gets in the way, and they just want to be right. They just want it to happen. So people don't mock them anymore. This did escalate things with Don. Don 100% went off the deep end after this because he said it was a drill, but he honestly believed that he was right and everyone who mocked him was wrong and everything was going to be fixed. And not only that, he knew it. He knew it was going to happen. But he was embarrassed. He was embarrassed that there wasn't a mass civil war breaking out in the United States. He began to, I think she doesn't use this word, and neither does the author of the piece, but I would say, I think he begins to emotionally abuse her at this point, because the drills have stepped up. It's no longer like, honey, let's go. With those stopwatch, she'd be deep asleep. And he'd go, honey, wake up, it's time to go. Oh, what? Get your bag, I don't have time to explain. And she would like be like all half awake, panicking, because she believes all of this stuff too, and she's thrown all of her stuff together in the middle of the night, and they throw Rufus up in the truck, and then he'd go, that was just a drill. He also began to hide, this part's kind of funny, I mean, it's emotional abuse, but I'm sorry. This part's kind of funny. He would also hide around the house. And when Ramona would be walking around like she's carrying the laundry down the hallway, he would jump out of the closet and go, boo! And she'd go, ah! And then he'd scream at her and says, when the end comes, when this storm hits, you gotta be made of tougher stuff. You can't be yelling just because of the safety of your own home. Your boyfriend jumps out of a closet. And he kept doing this drill as well. That's emotional abuse. As funny as it is, it's still emotional abuse. Also, I don't know how that trains you for the coming 10 Days of Darkness. I mean, it will be dark. It will be scary. But that just seems mean-spirited. Her anxiety level's through the roof, obviously, because now it's almost this assault in her home. She's just psychologically being attacked in her own home. Plus, she's reading all of this conspiracy theory stuff. She believes it. I don't know how much news you ingested in 2020, 2021. Chaos. Just chaos everywhere on the nightly news. And then you go to Facebook and you read about the real meaning behind the chaos. Is just freaking her out. And she said, I used to watch TikTok. I used to watch TikToks and watch funny videos, and that always helped relax me. But at this point in my life, she goes, I would go on TikTok and I'd watch a video of two chickens eating an ice cream cone, and then pull up to the little girl going like, these are both my chickens and they're my favorite. And these videos would make her sad. These videos of people doing funny dances or fun skits or whatever begin to make her sad. She goes, I'd watch these videos and I'd think, do they even know what's coming? Do they understand that this will all be over so soon? And it depressed her. Seeing all this happiness was actually having the opposite effect. She felt bad for him because they didn't know the world was about to be plunged into darkness. But as time goes on, she does start to question why these prophecies aren't coming true. Two more weeks. It's right around the corner. Clone got exposed. 2 more weeks. Here we go, guys. Mass die-offs right now. It's coming. 2 more weeks. And she starts to go, okay, yeah, it's a little weird. It's a good thing, right? But it's a little weird that none of this stuff is actually happening. She does connect with her friends on social media, and one of them says, hey, Ramona, I'm doing this thing, it's called a social media cleanse, where I'm not on social media for a period of time, say like a week, and it's supposed to really help your mood. It's really supposed to be like a de-stressor. And Ramona goes, that sounds like a great idea. And so she decided to do it as well. And Ramona, in retrospect, she goes, I didn't know why I agreed to do the social media cleanse, but looking back, it's because I knew that I could not keep up, mentally keep up with reading all of this stuff. It was just ruining my life. So she agreed to do the social media cleanse, and she did it for a couple days, and then a week, and that turned into a few weeks. And at a certain point, she had not been on social media for quite a while, and she felt better. She actually mentally felt better. Now, Don was still running his drills, but she wasn't spending her time at home alone also consuming this stuff and letting it consume her, letting it overburden her. But, you know, she goes, old habits die hard. After a couple weeks, I go, well, you know, see what's going on Facebook. And she pulled up Facebook and she looked, and all the groups she hung out with on Facebook were gone. Because Facebook did that huge QAnon purge, where it was pretty much, couldn't talk about it on social media. You couldn't have an account called Number 23. They went pretty deep into it. Sesame Street was banned because they might accidentally mention the letter Q. Quick and the Dead was removed from Netflix. She goes, I went back to the groups, they were gone. I mean, the people were still on Facebook, but it had been scattered into the wind. I didn't even have that group to go back to. She tells Dawn at this point, she goes, you know what? I think I'm just done with the conspiracy theory stuff. I just, like, it's, I don't, you know, she doesn't want to tell him it doesn't make sense and the prophecies have not come true, but she says, you know, mentally, for my own mental health, I don't want to read about this stuff, and I prefer not to hear it either. It's not something that I'm into anymore. Now, to Dawn, and like many others, these aren't conspiracy theories. That's a pejorative term. This is the truth. She also tells him that she wants to go back to school. She wants to continue her college education. She wants to be a teacher, like she'd always wanted to be. This obviously caused friction in their lives. They start arguing. A lot of arguments. And Don, the man who Ramona would always describe as the man who made her feel safe, one day during one of these arguments, he hit her. And she knew right then that she was not safe with him. Not at all. So she left him. She goes, I left the house. I left him. I started couch surfing. Started sleeping on my friends' couches. Started making new friends, sleeping on their couches. She said, I started to put my life back together. Get enrolled in school. Get my own place. And she reconnected with another old high school friend, the same school that she went to with Don, and they ended up dating, and they got married in 2022. That same year, 2022, one day, Ramona was talking to Don over the phone, and I don't know how this came up. I don't know if she was running a victory lap or what, but they were talking. She doesn't seem that mean-spirited, but they were talking, and she mentioned that Don, I'm vaccinated. I actually did get the vaccine. And that's when Ramona hears on the other end of the phone, she hears Don softly crying. And then he says, well, you're gonna die within the year. She never talked to him after that. It's been 2 years since. In that time, she's graduated college, and she is now a fifth grade teacher. Super interesting story. Like, it's the article, it was a great article written by David Klepper. I'll put it in the show notes. And I mean, it pretty much speaks for itself, right? Like, this is what can happen when conspiracy theories get out of hand. What's funny is, along the line, I don't agree with his conspiracy theory views, but I do think it is important to have a go bag. I personally think it's important to be armed. Some people aren't comfortable with guns, maybe a bo staff, nunchucks, katana. But I think it is important to be prepared for disasters. It is important to stay informed. And the mainstream media does lie to you. But you also can't believe everything you read on the internet. You do have to fact check. And sometimes you even have to fact check your friends or fact check your favorite websites. Or favorite podcasters. Preparing for this stuff, reading about this stuff, I don't have a problem with any of that. I obviously enjoy reading conspiracy theories. I believe in some of them. Some of them have been proven to be right over the years. But sometimes you got to know when to fold them. And that's how I was with the 9/11 truther thing. I was like, oh, I'm not right on this. I'm actually, and I was in it for at least a decade. I'd put it at about a decade. I'd put it from 2001 to about 2011 when I moved up here to Hood River. Maybe a little bit either on other side of that. I stopped going, what? This is ridiculous. I was hardcore. I was hardcore about it. Like, this would be a totally different podcast had it come out in that time period. You got to admit to yourself, oh, wow, I was wrong. And not only was I was wrong for 10 years. I was wrong for 10 years, vocally wrong. Putting my stamp on something that now I go, I don't believe in most of those parts. Like I said, you know, missile hitting the Pentagon, plane getting shot down, U.S. military, you know, a general here, an admiral there, getting paid off. That thing is far, that's all far more feasible to me. But what I'm saying is, like, it's funny because, you know, obviously there are conspiracy theories that hurt people, like, are just directed towards a specific race of people. And, you know, those are, it's a little gauche, if I must say. I don't want to be too controversial. That's a little gauche. But if you did believe, I had friends of mine who 100% believed in QAnon and Robert Kennedy coming, he faked his death. I had friends who really believed in that. And you know what? I never questioned it because I understood where they were coming from and I could understand the mechanism of why they believed it because it was making sense of a crazy situation. And then when it didn't happen, I didn't do a victory lap. I didn't ever bring it up again. Neither did they. So sometimes, I mean, that's smart. If you believe something and you find out it's not true, then it's okay to be like, wow, not only was I wrong, but I invested time and money into being wrong. I told all of my friends this stuff. It's a lot easier to go, yeah, it's a lot easier just to never bring it back up. But if it does come back up, be like, yeah, I wasn't really thinking straight, you know, world pandemic going on. It was locked in my house. I have that hope for Don, even though he hit his girlfriend, which, you know, that's terrible. He shouldn't be hitting anybody, man or woman, in a relationship. But even though he is end up kind of the villain of the story, and Jason was also jumping out of closets, as much as you find that funny, that's abuse. I hope that Don comes through the other end of the conspiracy theory tunnel. I really hope he does. I have hope for him. But I just thought it was a great article, and I thought it was a very, very interesting look at, we always look at conspiracy theories, the theory themselves, and now we got a real personal look in on the lives of these two people. We covered that one about the guy who thought his kids were reptilians, so he took them down to Mexico on the beach and shot them all with a spear gun. Like, that's obviously a flop of that episode of the show notes. You're like, nope, don't want to hear that one. That's a far extreme to this story. This story, I think, is far more relatable. I think we either know people like Don and Ramona, or we've been people like Don and Ramona, or maybe we still are people like Don and Ramona. But you have the guy who took his kids out to the beach and killed them. He did a horrible act because he thought he lived in a sci-fi universe. Anyways, this episode's going to run long. I don't want to end it on that story. I do want to give you another one. But it's not going to be the backyard barbecue one. If you're like, yum, oh man, I'm so hungry for barbecue. I hope Jason talks about pulled pork on this episode. No, we're going to do another one, but it's a much shorter one. Cat Girl, I'm going to go ahead and toss you the keys to the world. Famous Carpenter Copter, we are leaving behind Tennessee. Fly us all the way out to a beach. Head it all the way out to the beach. It's dusk. The light is low. Sun is dipping over the horizon. Ah, refreshing, a young man says, who we'll call Clyde. Clyde is in a band. They just got done doing a gig at a nearby bar. And they met some cool people there. Hey, Clyde and the Clydesdales, do you guys want to come out to the beach? Hey, yeah, man, let's go. They go clomping out to the beach. They're hanging out. Clyde, he's a 20-year-old man. He goes, the way it was set up, we were sitting in a circle. So I'm sitting there. Next to me is my brother. We'll call him Silas. And then on my other side is my drummer. We'll call him Mark. And then there's three nobody sitting in front of us. So, it's them three, Clyde, Silas, and Mark, and they're facing the water, and then the three other people are facing them. And Clyde says about 500 feet to the left of us, closer to the water than we were, there's a group of people taking pictures. Every time they took a picture, this flash would illuminate the darkened beach. And each time they did this, Clyde, Mark, and Silas would see that flash, and it would, for a brief second, less than a second, would illuminate the landscape. And these people are just taking pictures, and Clyde and his buddies are talking to their newfound friends. Looking out towards the water. And Clyde said that me, Silas, and Mark instantly freaked out. All three of us, he said some variation to the sentence, "What the F was that?" They had all had an instant reaction to what they saw when that camera flashed. And they all saw the same thing. They had watched that camera flash so many times, and it was just a normal flash of a camera. People taking photos at the beach. But that time, when that flash went off, Clyde saw a bright light silhouette of a man running towards Clyde at full speed. He said it was as fast as a camera flash. It was just a snippet of a second. He goes, but I saw in that moment the silhouette of a man in a full sprint headed towards the group. It was just a bright outline. You could clearly see this guy running towards them. And that's what Silas and Mark saw as well. They all reacted to it immediately at the same time. Immediately. And when they started talking, they all said, there was a guy running towards us. On this beach that it's just us, and then 500 feet away, it's these guys. He goes, listen, I'll tell you right now, it wasn't a guy in reflective clothing. I'm sure he's probably told this story over time. We don't know when this story took place. I think we can kind of figure it out a bit, but he goes, I know for a fact there wasn't another person out there. It wasn't someone wearing reflective clothing, and that photograph caused it to light up. But other than that, he goes, I don't know what it was. None of us do. We all agree that we saw it. We all agreed it was doing the same thing. And we all agreed there was no one else out on that beach. Before or after that photo was taken, they didn't then see a guy run. For a split second, they saw a man sprinting, illuminated only by that camera flash. He goes, I have no idea what it is. I can't explain it, but I know that we saw it. I would place, I mean, again, like I'm a boomer, right? But I would place this story happening pre-cell phone cameras. The flash that I have on my phone, it wouldn't illuminate a dark beach. So I think the story is, you know, 90s, pre-90s. But I could be wrong. Maybe there are, I guess you could buy a professional camera now that has a good flash on it. Really, the point isn't when it took place. I don't know why I'm so hung up on that. The point is that, what was this? Was it anything? This is a story that on one hand you could go is a trick of the light. Like, you're staring into the darkness. And we've all had this. You out talking with a friend outside and the sun goes down. And at a certain point you have a hard time making sense of their face and it starts to morph. But I have double vision, so that might be something that mostly happens to people. Like, Jason, no, you're hanging out with demons, bro. You're hanging out with demons. You know when you're hanging out with a guy and his face morphs and he starts to smell like sulfur? When the light goes low, your eyes are trying to make sense of the darkness. That flash keeps interrupting that process because it's getting darker and darker, but every so often for a split second, there's a bright flash. You could say that that is what happened for one of them. If only Clyde saw this, I probably would be less inclined or less inclined to tell this story. The fact that you have three people, and even though they're sitting next to each other, it's from different viewing angles. They didn't sit next to each other and morph into one guy with six eyes. Even if you're just off, your viewing angle's off by 18-20% compared to the next guy, you're not going to see the same thing unless that thing is there. So what was this? It's a story, it really... Okay. This was posted online by someone going by the name Skew. Oh, this is interesting. Skew 1989. So, if that's the year he was born, then it would definitely put the story, if he's drinking at a bar, that's going to put the story in the mid-2000s. But, I don't know why I'm so hung up on what year it took place. Maybe it took place in 1989, and that's why that's his account name. He's never forgotten this story. This is one of those type of stories that it's very small. It's the type of stories I love. And I was talking to Sabine about this recently. How I can look at a story like this, just a couple paragraphs, and just be blown away by it. And Sabine was telling me, she goes, you're full of wonder. She goes, you have the ability to read something that's pretty mundane or small and be like, wow, that's amazing. Like, what could this be? Was this a cryptid? Was this some sort of government agent testing out a cloaking gear on the beach? Was it a ghost? Was it a demon? Was it something that is not cataloged in the world of the paranormal? Was it something that only existed in a brief moment in time? I mean, I guess we can kind of narrow it down. Whatever this thing was, it was running towards this group. That's why, you know, I think like human or a negative spirit. But yeah, I do. I read stuff like this and I'm like, these type of stories blow me away constantly. I cover them all the time on the show. And I'm always like, that's so crazy. And I think it's creepy because it makes me wonder, really makes me wonder what we don't see on a day-to-day basis. Because really what the story implies is, let's say that Clyde, Silas, and Mark, you know, this light's flashing every once in a while as we're taking pictures. And in this moment, Silas is looking down at his beer. Clyde is looking, making eye contact with someone right across the group. And Mark is sitting there drumming with sticks in the sand. When that flash hits and that guy's illuminated in full sprint, they don't see it, but he's still coming towards them. So how often does that happen? No, you go, you know, Jason, yeah, that is, you're looking over your shoulders, you're like, oh man, Why do I listen to this podcast? It gets so creepy sometimes. He's ruined Halloween for me. And now this, as you're looking over your shoulder, you're like, yeah, I guess that is creepy, but it's not like one of these people got, like, tackled. That'd be hilarious, right? You're sitting on the beach with your friends, and all of a sudden, one of your dudes gets laid out. Someone was running, invisible man was running full sprint, just barreled right into your buddy. Cracked a couple ribs. Hilarious. You go, but yeah, he, sure, maybe. There's a ghost or a cryptid or a demon or whatever this was running full sprint towards a group, but then nothing happened. It's not like one of them got possessed. It's not like one of them was flying around the room. It'd be hilarious, too. As long as it's not happening to me. If it's happening to the guy next to me, barrel of monkeys. But, yeah, you could say that, but I mean, I wonder if it did attach to one of them. Like, if this is one of those stories that'd be interesting. We covered that story the other day about the man who came to corrupt Americans and leave these dark spirits in his wake, ruin the lives of people over here. And that story took 5 years for her to be able to look back on and go, wow, that ruined my life. And even she was kind of iffy on it. It was her ex-boyfriend being like, I think the reason why your life sucks right now and has sucked for the past 5 years was because of that encounter you had at the grocery store. That was yesterday's episode, if they come out in the right order. It took her years, and even she's still iffy on whether or not that was the cause of it. I think she's a little more leaning towards that camp now. If his brother, Silas, right, they look, they see this thing, they all react to it, but by this thing's moving so fast, and it's moving in such a weird environment, right, in between the visible spectrum, right, by the time they saw it, it may already have gotten to Silas, and who knows what. Like, I mean, it would be interesting to find out if Clyde's brother, you know, is currently, like, in a mental hospital. Right? I'm like, hey, buddy, I covered this story on my podcast. Is your brother mentally sane? He's like, what? It would be weird if he goes, yeah, you know, that is funny. A couple of years after that, my brother, he just loved marathons all of a sudden. He'd never been fit. And then all of a sudden, he loved running marathons. And I asked him one day, why do you love running marathons so much, brother? And he goes, I don't know. But I live for the finish line. Like, I just run just because I want to get past the finish line. You're like, oh, Jason's building or something. Probably going to be dumb. Because as much as he's laughing, I love running, man. I love running, brother. But I love hitting the finish line. And not just that, I love to, like, if I know I'm going to win the race and there's a guy right next to me, I'll slow down a bit. What? Why? He goes, because I want to tie with the guy next to me. And then Clyde goes, his brain blows up because he realized ever since his brother had been possessed by the ghost of the runner on the beach, he lives for a photo finish. He didn't plan that, right? It wasn't on a note card. It's terrible. It was awful. Are you sure? You're feeling better? DeadRabRadio@gmail.com is going to be our email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabRadio. TikTok is @DeadRabRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, but I'm glad you listened to it today. Oh, I didn't even promote that I'm going to the Ghost Conference. I keep forgetting about it. I'm super excited about it. May 22nd through the 24th, Seaside, Oregon. Show notes. Oh, I'll do a better job next week. I'm so excited about that. I'm really excited. So I'm glad that I'm feeling better for that. And just so you know, if you were impressed by that photo finish joke, it came off the top of my head, man. That's what it's like. That's what it's like being the man in the chair. You guys have a great weekend. I'll see you soon.